Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I was announcing the numbers, and then after that, there was a film. And so I'm East London born and bred, right? So I'm doing the numbers, 20, 23, 40, whatever. So I do that, and then I do the film, and I'm like, coming up next, we have a thriller where da-da-da-da-da. That was that. Went about my business. About 3 or 4 days later, I wake up, my phone's pinging. It's like, rah, what's going on? I'm like, what? I'm in all the newspapers.
Wow.
This is the Dope Like That podcast. My name is Marvin Harrison, and I feel like they should be clapping, but nobody did anything.
Wow, that sounds like we're walking on the high street.
Just a normal day.
Oh, I wish. A little black boy from Hackney. Hey. Today, I'm joined by Romantha Mothar. Hello.
Welcome back.
We have Darwood Grave.
Darwood Grave.
Hey. I want to stay alive.
I'm trying to speak it to existence.
God forbid. God forbid.
It's a Darwood sick MC name. Good
stuff. That is a sick MC name. We also have Nick Bright.
Cheering myself.
And then we have Nii Odate.
Yes. Come on.
Thank you.
So, Nii, Nick, and I are broadcasters. Let's just divide the table a little bit.
Wow.
Let's have an adult conversation.
You are talented.
About
no,
our
no, no,
profession.
I'm a broadcaster too. I'm technically not.
No, you chose to retire for no reason. You had a great career and you threw it up to become and do documentaries, okay? So we can't talk to you about this. But actually, let's honor you.
No, it's fine. As you were.
There are 4 broadcasters on this table.
No.
5.
Why are you singling me out now?
I'm going to say, technically, I don't know if I can be classed as a broadcaster because I'm a on-air announcer.
You were on air telling people to go to the Dope Black Dads podcast after EastEnders. Yeah, whatever you do now.
I became famous in my house for that.
That was the peak of civilization.
There's a lot of chopping and changing going on here.
Yeah. I mean, people aren't confident. What is it?
It's like there's 3 broadcasts, there's 5, there's 4 people are taking themselves away.
It's wokeism gone wrong. Okay?
100%.
You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so you just say nothing.
You hurt my feelings, I'm still like the odd one out.
Fuck your feelings, man.
Wow.
I don't like it, Mark.
There straight away.
It's like how we're getting down. No,
but I couldn't not say it because it was there.
I'm used to being on the radio. You can't say that.
Your career is on fire. Also, Nick and I, we've worked together on 5 Live, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then what's interesting, I had a bit of a run because I think Laura Whitmore left and there was a gap and it was you for a little bit. Then I had Gordon Smart for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's the most fun I've ever had on radio.
Yeah. So we first met when I was covering for Laura Whitmore on Radio 5 Live. And she had a thing on that show, I think, called Doubles Partner.
Yeah.
Which basically means you're in the studio.
Sounds like I'm doing stuff, but it wasn't that.
You're in the studio for the whole time.
Double B.
Didn't get the benefits.
Wow.
Yet.
But what happens with it, right, is... The way he's cracking up at his own joke.
I know. Laura's
Nick,
amazing.
Don't get carried away.
His own joke.
I know.
I love it. What happens with it is we have a little chat at the start and then for the rest of it it's like you can pitch in as much as you want,
yeah,
but also you're there because stuff always goes wrong on live radio, and then it's like, Marvin, what do you think of that?
Yeah, it's like, well, Arsenal's definitely gonna win the league. That's my one soundbite. My second soundbite is Black Lives Matter, and the third, no. But what's really good is that I've done it with other people before, And sometimes you don't, like, they, it feels like it's their thing. Like, you're like nervous to jump in because it's like they're just flowing without really like bantering with you. Whereas I think with you and Gordon, we were just having a, we were just chatting about stuff and it became really, really easy to do. So it was a lot of fun.
Listen, bro, for me, I'm getting paid the same whether I speak 90% of the time or 50% of the time. So for me, I'm like, if you want to chat as much as you want, then come bring on. It on. You know what I mean?
Also, you're probably like the hardest working man in radio that I know because you actually do about what? How many shows do you currently cover? Because you do Five Live, you do One Extra. I know you've done some Radio One. What else have you done?
Yeah, so it's weird because like I started out at Radio One Extra, still at Radio One Extra. That was like 2010, I think. I got my show there, so it's a little while. Do the maths. I started when I was five, and yeah, since then I've done stuff for Radio One, which was pretty cool because in terms of like UK radio, UK youth radio anyway, that's like the Premier League.
Yeah.
To get there was just like amazing, especially because I didn't even really like it wasn't something that I've envisaged myself doing radio. I just kind of got into it almost by accident, and then bang, I'm on Radio One. And then yeah, now I'm doing bits and pieces on Radio 5 Live, which again is so mad because if you know me, you'll know that I'm not the biggest like news guy.
Yes, very news heavy. It's different.
I'm not really into it, politics and this and that. Obviously, I am to a degree because I feel like you have to be. You know, if you're somebody who cares about the future of the country and the future for yourself, but I'm not like bang into it. You know what I mean? Like reading bare in-depth interviews about
white
like,
papers.
I'm just not doing that. So to be given the opportunity to be on Radio 5 Live was a big deal for me, especially because you know my background being working class and things like that. I think it's important to have a variety of voices, especially for the BBC, because often, you know, the BBC has been criticised for...
Yeah, having RP.
Yeah, Oxbridge vibes, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. So for someone like me to be on Five Live, I feel like it was an incredible opportunity and one I'm still grateful that I am a part of at the moment.
Yeah, I think one of the things that make you have a good broadcasting voice is that you can't necessarily put it to a place or necessarily a class. I wouldn't sit there and be like, you have a working class kind of Essexy Cockney. It's just a very specific, clear voice. What feedback do you get?
Well, it's something that I've worked on just because, you know, when I was growing up, I was somebody that would...
Were you a yo, bruv?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I went to school in South London. All boys school in South London. Like, you know, massively multicultural school. And I'm so grateful that I did go to that school because I feel like it was part of my, it's formed part of who I am today, you know, understand the different cultures and all the rest of it. And I feel like that, it's a conversation I've had with Trevor Nelson, actually, first name drop. Like, conversation I've had with Trevor, he said that part of the thing that formed him into the broadcaster and the person that he is today is that he worked in a bagel shop when he was growing up. And there was Irish people coming in the bagel shop, Jewish people coming in the bagel shop, black people coming in the bagel shop. And he had to understand different people from different cultures. And I feel like for me, that was school. You know what I mean? We had loads of people from loads of different places. And like getting that understanding of that early, I feel like was important for me. But yeah, I've worked on my pronunciation of things, but sometimes it's still not good enough, especially when you're doing national radio. Like it's very different, like coming into a safe space like this today and speaking with you guys. Like I can use certain slang, I can speak in a certain way and there'll be no judgment, you know what I mean? But you go, you'll know this, Marv, from, you know, coming on Five Live and doing some of the other stuff you do on telly. Like when you come off of, you know, when you come off air, sometimes you have people like picking up on the maddest stuff, just like how you said a certain word or like and transfixing
on it. It's initiate.
It's crazy.
It's enunciate.
It's honestly crazy.
I got that as well.
Yeah.
Like I, the moment you started speaking about being in different spaces and having to adjust a little bit, I had that. And it's the craziest thing because my home language is Afrikaans. Mm-hmm. I worked in Afrikaans. I grew up in Afrikaans. Attended school in Afrikaans, studied in Afrikaans, did university in English though, but studied in Afrikaans and everything. So when I got my first job as a journalist for Africa's biggest publication, I was told I need to address people in a certain way. And it spanned through my entire career. Mm. When I got on TV eventually, it was bad.
Mm.
And the one day I remember, the feedback that came was, I need to go for training. And so the production company got some woman old school. You know, those ones who will tell you, it's enunciate, it's this, it's that.
Was this speaking in English or Afrikaans?
Afrikaans, my language, right? So this white woman came.
Can you do it for us?
This white woman came. Do what?
Both versions.
I love it how she just ignored you, like straight off.
No, she came.
She remembered that I'm host as well.
I know.
Hey, you both afterwards.
So she came and said, you should speak this way. Does he verdacht? Does he verdachte? Nee, dis verdachte. Like there's a over enunciation of the word rather than under, which is flat. Mm. That's the way that we speak colloquially, just you and I. And I went to the executive producer and I was like, listen, you hired me because you know who I am, right? You know where I come from. You know how I speak. You can hear how I'm speaking to you right now. Do you understand what I'm saying to you right now? He's like, whoa, hold up. What happened? And I said, I just came out of the session and this woman is technically telling me that how I'm speaking is wrong. If you understand me, I'm speaking factually correct. You understand what I'm saying. I'm not muffling my words, nothing. What seems to be the problem? Oh, no, she wasn't supposed to do that. And, you know, no. We'll
clap
go back to her.
As well.
We'll
like
go
that.
Back to her. Yeah. And even in that, psychologically, in the back of my mind, I did do it anyway.
Yeah.
I did it anyway because she was at the back of my mind. So I get that completely. And being in those spaces, you just need to own it and train yourself to not do that subconsciously.
How about you, Nick? Because you obviously were doing the voiceovers and that's even more pressure because it's like there was no visual to support it and it's on TV. You're like after EastEnders. That's mad.
I had a very similar situation. So I think when I just recently started, I was doing Saturday night lottery. So you announced the numbers.
Whoa. Do you know what next week's going to be?
It's pre-recorded.
So I was announcing the numbers. And then after that, there was a film. And so I'm East London born and bred, right? So I'm doing the numbers, 20, 23, 40, whatever. So I do that. And then I do the film and I'm like, coming up next, we have a thriller where da-da-da-da-da and what have you. That was that. Went about my business. About 3 or 4 days later.
4 days later. This is what I'm on about. These people.
I wake up. My phone's pinging. Like, rah, what's going on? I'm like, what? I'm in all the newspapers.
Wow. Yeah, I remember this period.
And so, long story short, Points of View had come along and Middle England had lost their mind because they were like, it's 23, not 23. And it's Thriller, not Thriller. And so I just got rinsed through the newspapers about my, and that, you know, and fair play to the Beeb. They were like on it straight away because like, you know, in some of the rags, like The Sun, in the comments section was lively. Who let this N-word on the TV and all of that? Oh, yeah, they were going
to the
straight
N-word,
away.
You know?
And then what was brilliant, there was an article in the Evening Standard, I think it was, and they, you know, if you Google me, all of my headshots will come
Google
up.
Google me.
Google me, baby. And this one journalist from the Evening Standard decided, no, I'm not going to use any of these headshots, which are clearly here for press and
whatnot. You're going to go Facebook.
She went to YouTube, found a short film that I did, okay, and took a freeze frame from that.
No!
I'm standing in the door looking quite menacing.
No!
And that's the picture they used.
Like,
I had to email an accuser.
That's so embarrassing on there.
But that's really also impressive.
It really is.
How impressive is that?
It's like, wow, you really wanted your narrative, innit? You were like, I will have my narrative.
I'm committed.
And that's what she did. But then I responded to that with an article in The Guardian.
Shout out to The Guardian for always coming into create balance. Yeah.
And just to be like, you know, actually, what you guys don't really understand is the impact. When you respond like this to people like me, there are other people like me, younger than me, who are like, they already think that they're not supposed to be 100%. In these spaces. And then you're doubling down on that. So no, because initially I was talking to a friend about it and he was like, no, just don't say nothing. Let the thing ride out. And then another friend was like, look at it like this. Whether you respond or not, you have to ask yourself in 10, 15 years time, everything's Googleable. The boys, they Google it and they say, oh, Dad, what did you do when this happened? And then I was like, well, I can't not respond because I have to be able to. You know what I mean? So I responded and that was my response. But yeah, it was, as you said, because afterwards, talking with management, they were like, listen, we hired you for your voice, right? So you just do what you're doing. But it's always there. Mm. And so even now when I'm speaking, I'm still conscious of 23, 23. Mm. It's always there. And it's like, can we just be, please?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I use the TripAdvisor analogy for it. You know, when you're looking at hotels or restaurants or whatever on TripAdvisor, you'll see, you know, 10, 20 great reviews, and then you'll see one bad one. And it's the bad
one.
You're like, oh, well, it must be terrible.
I'm not going there.
I think it's quite hard because I think that's the only thing you have to work with in terms of doing
work. see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? I knew this was going to happen. But carry on.
It's getting awkward.
He's so busy being in his feelings, yeah? He just blocked his own blessing because he was going to come and be the part of the next thing. Yeah?
He's been silent as well, waiting for the moment.
The thing is, yeah,
are you silent?
No, because my therapist told me this, yeah? Is that the thing that you want the least, you create. Okay? The thing you want the least, you create. So you just created the thing you wanted the least. So now we're going to continue.
This is how you worm yourself out of it.
Therapy. It's annoying. I've done a lot of it. So Nick, you're also an Arsenal fan, which obviously is another great connection point.
Yeah.
And it's a part of the reason why I think you're an incredible human being, because you support Arsenal. You actually are a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. You're taller than what everybody thinks, which is another thing that's a little bit weird. 63. Does that come out often?
Yeah, a few people have said it to me, actually.
What's that
yeah,
about?
I don't know. I just... You stood up and I was like, excuse me.
But how tall did you think I was going to be and why?
I don't know. I think radio people should be smaller.
I think... like jockeys.
This jockey?
Yeah?
I wasn't ready. But you're a huge Arsenal fan. We don't have long, but I would love just a sentence on you, on your ambitions and hopes for us, realistically, come what may. Then we'll go to Darwood.
Come what may. May as well.
So yeah, see what I did?
Yeah, very clever.
You know, there's no script here either.
Broadcaster. Do you know what? It's tough. This season, it's going to be tough for us to win the league this season now, if I'm being honest, because, you know, you've only got to lose a couple of games in the Premier League now. It's mad, isn't it, when you think about it? Teams used to win the Premier League back in the day.
Losing nine games.
They'd lose 9-10 games to still win the Prem. Yeah. Now, if you lose four, it's finished.
Yeah.
Because you've got, like, Man City. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. So it's going to be difficult. I'm not going to say we can't do it, but we need to start scoring, bro. I know we scored a hatful against Crystal Palace as we're recording. That was the last game, wasn't it? But Crystal Palace are in a tough place at the moment. That was a good game for us because they are struggling. Yeah. So, like, when we're going up against the top teams, we've got Liverpool again in a few weeks, haven't we? So, like, that's going to be the test.
Yeah.
We need to score against these teams. If we don't, score goals, you don't win trophies, man.
Yeah. What would you be happy with? Would you accept third in the league, Champions League, semi-final, we're out of all the cups. Would you accept that as like a progress of being competitive on two of the major four trophies?
Nah, I don't, just because we finished second in the league last year. Mm. So like, I know we're in the Champions League this year. So people will go, yeah, but you're in the, you know, you're in the Champions League. And if you get through to the semi-final, that's cool. But I don't know if you saw Fabrizio Romano, the transfer guy.
Yeah,
he basically said he thinks Arsenal are going to win the Champions League.
Yeah.
Now,
they feel like a cup team this year.
I mean, you could say that, but we got knocked out of the other cups. But
no, but that's not our first team. I think this year, on any given day, I think we can beat somebody on one day.
Yeah. I know we lost in the group stages, didn't we?
No, we did.
Yeah, we did. Away.
Lons.
2-1, which we should never have lost that game anyway. But in the Champions League, we have been annihilating teams.
We
have been looking good. So, like, people will argue and say, yeah, but you're not going up against any of the big guns. Who are the big guns now, bruv? Other than Man City.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking...
I think Real Madrid have the pedigree, and that would be our biggest
test. They got pedigree, and, like, I feel like sometimes you can go into a match against a team like Real Madrid and you're already mentally, you know, you're 1-0 down mentally or whatever. Yeah. But like, I'm looking at it and I'm not scared of Real Madrid. I'm not scared of Barcelona. I'm not scared of Bayern Munich. You know, these teams, I mean, Bayern Munich ain't even first in their own league anymore. Yeah, Harry Kane went there to win the Bundesliga.
But I think they've prepped themselves again for the Champions League.
Mm.
So I think we've got them ready for the Champions League. You've got Arsenal, Man City and Real Madrid. If that's the semi-final, I think we're probably the least, just through experience, we're the least likely to get to the final out of those three teams.
I'll back us 14. All the way.
Yeah, I'll back us.
You should do that, that's right. Yeah. Darwood, you know, so we only got 30 seconds.
Here he comes, Darwood. Come on.
What are your Arsenal thoughts? What are your dreams? Because you're way more optimistic than I am.
I'm happy to be here. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah. Just like a man with a very beautiful woman. Just whatever. Just happy.
Yeah, sit on my face.
Okay. Oh! Wow.
went there. Oh,
I didn't even hear what you said. Yeah. You know what happens, yeah?
No.
So in the edit, I hear the little things that I missed because I can't hear from this side of the things. And you do that often, by the way. Seriously? It's bare them. Yeah. So because we have a future. The thing I wanted to actually talk to you about. Sit on my face. What? The thing I actually want to talk about is funny because we had a topic and I shifted it very last minute, but it's because I was in the house and I was toying with this idea of like, have you ever been loved in a way that you understand that you are being loved? Like, has that ever actually happened? And then we went round into like the love languages, and there are five. So there's words of affirmation, there's act of service, there's receiving gifts, there's quality time. And then there's physical touch. So I think love languages was created by Dr. Gary Chapman for his long work as a marriage counselor. And he realized there are these things. And I sat there and I was like, actually, throughout my life, I always saw relationships as like a service to somebody. Like you met somebody, loved them as they are. And then you almost like created this service. Like, I'm going to love you. I never really thought about it coming back at me. Mm. But then after about 18 months, 2 years, you have needs, you have wants, you have things that are not quite there for you. And you're like, I need these things. And I realized that at no point had it ever been discussed. Mm. So it wasn't until after my marriage, I was like, maybe I should do something that is centered on me. Like I want something. And I as a man, have you ever been loved by anybody in a way that you truly understand based on the things that you receive as love?
The fact you discovered that after you got married is worrying.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm glad it's still working out.
Has it ever happened to you, Darwin?
I'm thinking of several examples.
Just loved by so many people.
What is your love language? What happens for you, and then it's like, that's a really strong act of love, and I feel that from you.
Feeding me.
Feeding you. That's like an act of service.
Yeah, really, act of service. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you feed me, then like, and I think my whole family know.
Mm.
And that, and both my son's mums know. Like, just feed him and you probably get whatever you need.
Really?
It would explain why he's falling in love with his delivery driver.
Does it have to be like, does it just have to be any meal? Just someone serving you food, or is it?
Because regularly when you come to the house, I make sure there's a vegan option. So does that?
Yeah, equals, I make that's sure love. You have food.
That's love. That's 100%. That's love. But I receive that as love.
That's powerful.
And that, just the fact that you would think of a vegan option there, and you've done it several times. You've both done it several times. It's, I receive it as love. Yeah, definitely.
That's really powerful. What about you, Ni?
I think for me, acts of service. Definitely is one, but touch. Is it
physical touch,
acts of service, quality time, words of affirmation. Receiving
physical
gifts.
Touch, words of affirmation, and acts of service.
Just maybe, having them all.
Maybe all in that order.
And two gifts.
All of it. Give me it all. I didn't realize until recently how much words of affirmation meant to me. I remember I did a video about a year or so ago, and I showed my wife just like, what do you think I should do here? And she watched the video. She goes, oh my gosh, this is really, really good. And she was just like, really, just kind of walked out the room going, oh my gosh. Sorry. And I realized that actually, oh, that stuff is really important to me. Whereas before I honestly felt like I didn't care for it. But yeah, I'd probably say I need to be held. I need to be, you know, I like all the stroke.
Well, quite similar, by the way. This is quite scary. We're very similar.
Does it then depend on what phase of your life you're in, or maybe it's just what your needs are? So they alternate.
Yeah, I mean, so I think the phase that we're in now, and I think I spoke about this briefly on the last time I was here, where it's like we're, for want of a better phrase, existing, but we're just getting on with life.
Yeah.
And so I miss the times where we really had time for each other. But I think, you know, when you know, like, okay, this is the goal and we just got to kind of get through this bit, it's okay. But really and truly, though, they're the things that I'm like, that's what I just want to spend that time.
Mm. What about you, Nick?
It's so I feel like I can understand why people are taking, you know, 25% of that, you know, 50% of that, because I feel like it's hard to just nail your colours to one of those masks. I'm definitely somebody like my love language is acts of service. Like, I think, like, I think that I'm very much somebody who wants to do things for somebody.
But what about you receiving?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? I think it's a mixture between acts of service and words of affirmation. A little bit like you, I feel like if the most important people in your life, if they are genuinely telling you that something you've done is amazing, it means a lot to you. And I don't mean like, you know, what your mum used to do or whatever when you were growing up, and it's like your mum would say that everything's great, you know, like, oh, look at that drawing you've done, it's amazing. Well, like, yeah,
stick it on the fridge.
Yeah, I don't mean.
And then afterwards, mum, was you on LSD when you saw this?
You know what I mean? Like, we're all professionals now in different areas, I guess. Some of us broad. I couldn't remember what the breakdown was of broadcasters. I couldn't remember, I'll be honest. But you know, if the people that are truly dear to you say, saw that thing, for me anyway, I'll speak for myself. If somebody who's truly dear to me says, like, I saw that thing that you did and it was really amazing, I really liked when you spoke about XYZ, I'm like, that's like great. It's better than, like, you know, random people on X or Twitter or whatever the hell it's called nowadays saying that's amazing. Like, I just find, especially male to male, weirdly, because, like, I don't know what you guys' friendship groups are like, but I feel like my friendship group is very much like when we were growing up anyway, you would never compliment your friends on anything. Girls are so good at complimenting each other.
I've incorporated that into my lifestyle.
Yeah. It's good.
So I tell my friends when they look good.
It's good.
Or just because I know that it means something. Mm.
If my friends tell me that, like, something I've done is good, it's like, wow, that must have been amazing for you to say that it was good.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, definitely, though, a mixture of those two.
Just a follow-up question. It's known that these are the five love languages, right? But I feel like there's certain things that fall outside of that.
Mm.
Like, for instance, when someone sends me a song and they're like, the song reminded me of you. Ooh. That feels like a love language, but it doesn't really fall under acts of service, does it?
Is it all
words of affirmation? But no, because even if even if the song doesn't talk about I love you, I care about you, it might be a song that talks about a beautiful woman who did well in her career, lost a family member maybe, or whatever it is. Or I watched this movie and it reminded me of you.
Mm.
I don't know where that falls under.
Could it fall under time because someone spent time thinking about you?
But it's not quality time.
I think there is probably interpretations that you could probably slot it in by force. But you're right, there are some areas where things do things and it's like that's a profound way of receiving love. But I think it's always like whenever I find myself expanding in love is when I'm very aware that I'm in love. Like the tools I have just aren't enough for the situation and I'm being pushed to be more patient, more thoughtful, more kind. Yeah. Like, I think that's a really good measure because I want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I also know if I don't want to do it, you're not getting anything out of me. But I think the reason why it was so important to me today, I just was having a moment of just, I think when we talk about, we did this on the other day at the film, when we were talking about the film, and I was just like, I don't recall very many healthy relationships historically. Like, I think, and it wasn't the woman's fault, it was me meeting people and just dating them, believing that I had the power to create a relationship with them.
Yeah.
I never really thought about myself in them. I never had a vision for what I would experience day to day. It was like, I have these it's abundance gifts or resources and I want to share them with this person because they're so kind or thoughtful.
Yeah.
I never really thought about what it would be like when I'm tired, ill, and or just sad myself and I needed something back. I never thought about it. So many a times I found myself at a deficit. And then at the point of requesting it, they just would be like, this is not what I do.
Yeah.
And I'd have to discover in experience that this is probably not going to work.
Do you think that should be for like first date questions? Not first date, but, you know, initial dating questions. I think it's really important.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'd rather not know that your favorite color is purple, but I'd rather know that you like a hug at the end of a day.
Yeah.
Or I'd like to know how to deal with you when you're stressed. Like that kind of thing. I don't think we talk about the serious things right in the beginning.
That's the problem though, isn't it? Because it's because those things are serious. So
they're
not
really serious. They are important, but they're
not serious, it's not like life or death. But what it is it's not light on a first date. You know what I mean? If you're on a first date with someone and you're vibing and you're chatting.
Or worse.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden going like I don't know. Like, if you come home really stressed from work, you know what I mean? Are you going to shout at me? Because if so, I'm out.
Because I would have questions if I'm the guy. I'd be like, wait, are you at home and I'm working? Or you also happening? Came
yeah.
from work?
Where were
what
you?
Happened?
Do you have a job?
Work from home day. Work from home.
But you know what it is as well? When people first date, you don't really want to show your red flags.
100%.
Yeah,
do you think so?
Yeah. Nobody shows you their bunions on the first date.
I do.
No, that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. Like, these are my bunions. Do you want to have a second date?
Because there's no point having a second date unless you're willing to operate within certain understandings. Yeah. Like, there are things that exist for me that are too overwhelming. Like, the mother of my children matters. It's impossible for you to look at her and be disrespectful. Because you would lose the battle. Yeah. So I think there's some things that matter. And I feel it's really hard. Like, what my question is to the men, is how much did you think of yourself in the beginning of your relationship? How many things did you say?
I thought about my needs.
Yeah, you can find answers to your needs in very light relationships. You don't need to get into a relationship for needs. Mm. You can have sex outside of it.
It's hard to satisfy your needs if you're not offering a relationship.
Sticking to the question.
No, but that is sticking to the question.
How much of it do we actually say to ourselves, this is what I want? We don't put ourselves in a relationship. Yeah. And I think in masculinity, sometimes you kind of just avoid giving yourself in that way. And it's just kind of like, I'll park my needs to create this thing. And then one day you realize you just need them. So I don't know. Did you ever come into your relationship and say, these are some really important things? Or did you just arrive in your relationship and then they kind of came after?
Absolutely just arrived.
Mm. And and your relationship been going for years. You actually came as a package.
Yeah.
That's how I met you and your wife at the same time.
But it's not, I mean, I'm stuttering because I'm like, oh, that's kind of mad. Like to go into something and not even consider how I want to be loved sort of thing. But I also feel in a sense, love doesn't really work like that. You meet someone, you get infatuated with them. You want to know all about them. You want to make that's them happy. True. Like I said it the other way around, but also one of the things that gives me the greatest joy is making my wife laugh. Mm. Like when I can make her proper belly laugh, I'm like, that's
my day done.
Where's my cup of tea? It's a wrap. Doing my job. And so those things were really important for me because it made me know that I'm doing something right. My wife is happy. Mm. I just never thought about it the other way around.
Mm. What about you, Nick?
Yeah, I mean,
what's your situation at the moment? If someone, walking down the aisle soon, what's happening?
Well, I wouldn't say walking down the aisle soon, but I'm attached, if that's what you're asking.
How long have you been attached for? I feel like it might be the same person, it may not be. I don't want to I want to say stuff.
Probably a different person.
Oh, okay, cool.
I feel like for me, at the start of a relationship, it's always, I really related to what was just said there, because I feel like partly connected to my job as a broadcaster, as somebody who's used to asking people questions, I definitely take that role on board when we're on dates. I am interested as well. Can I just throw that out there? But it's like, I'm very much like, I want to keep the chat going. Mm. So I just ask questions to find out. Yeah. But the girl that I'm seeing now is also very good at asking questions. Mm. She's not a presenter before someone.
No, listen, I was a first. Yeah, yeah. But I was gonna go on the Instagram and work backwards.
She's a very good talker. So yeah, like for the first time, I would say, like most definitely for the first time, I would just say for the first time, you know, because I feel like the more mature you become in life, the more you think about these things anyway. Yeah. When you're young, it's just like, you know, whatever. But like for the first time, at the start of the relationship, there was probably much more 50-50. Mm. So like what you were saying earlier, my dad once told me, and my dad's got a lot of interesting sayings, some of which are good, some of which are terrible. But he said, in relationships, you've got to start as you mean to go on. Because it's like, if at the start, you are not, you know, you're portraying a different person to, you know, what you end up becoming. Mm. When, like what you said, Marvin, you said at the start, I would fulfill her needs and I wouldn't talk about mine. Mm. Then all of a sudden when you were like, right, I want some love now, she was like, well, that's not what we do here. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like it's a lesson that my dad gave me, which is one of the good ones. Mm. Start as you mean to go on in a relationship.
That's kind of sick, to be fair. And I think that's a good thing. I suppose now it's about, well, I call it like a playground. So that you create a playground of like as far into the worst of you there is in every scenario.
Yeah.
You just give that and then it's like you're more centered than not. But I, you know, if you add an extremity, it leaves room for you to walk into that space if you need to. I think the problem is that I was creating personas for relationships. And it was like, I am perfect. I provide, I protect, I da-da-da-da-da. And there was no like no respect for the shadow sides of me. Yeah. Like when I'm triggered or when I'm hungry, tired, and my invoices haven't come, I'm not as nice of a person as I am when they're all those three things are. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think people would meet and then they'll be like, this person's amazing. And then like 6 months down the line, they'll be like, he seems a bit grumpy. And I'm like, yeah, because shit's going on. Yeah, and I can't talk to you about that shit because you're not passionate or interested in, or you have no, you don't have the capacity or the understanding of how to reach me in that time because I've never created that dialogue. Mm-hmm. And then now my expectation is now like a weight in our relationship because I'm sitting there looking at you and thinking, what do you do? Mm-hmm. Like now it's starting to become a bit antagonistic of just like, what's the point of you if you can't hug me right now when I'm asking for you? But that's not what was created for us.
Yeah. It's hard though, isn't it? Because you're not going to go into those early days, you know, you're meeting at Nando's or All Bar One or wherever, and you're not going to stroll in
I
there.
I love you just gave away your date options.
No, they're not. I was just thinking, what's around here?
Yeah.
I just walk past. But you know, you're not going to go into those places and be like, oh, so nice to see you, babe. But listen, I got a rant about my invoices. They just ain't been paid. Like, she's going to be like, what? We've been seeing each other for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Calm down. You know
that's so
I mean?
Interesting because like...
You don't want to come on too strong.
No, but in a very ways, I just am intense. There, obviously, you all know me. Like, there's a level of communication that I want to exist in. I don't want to exist outside of that because I feel the fun stuff, for that to be possible, the scaffolding has to be strong.
Yeah.
And like, I will have so much more fun if I'm able just to be like a 1 minute rant on fucking late invoices from suppliers than it is if I have to pretend that that's not happening and I've got to find the stealth to be like, yeah, it's great. So what do you want to do now? And I got to listen to Love Island talk. Like, I don't want to talk about that.
No way I could only rant for 1 minute about it. See, that's the problem.
Because you know, because you work with people that you're like, listen. It's a nightmare. Yeah. The other thing is I feel like love languages are a mirror of like the things you lack. So that matters to you because you never had that as a child. So it kind of mirrors probably what happened in your household. And like, if you like hugs, because I didn't feel like I was hugged enough. Or like, if I like, you know, gifts, it's because I never really got good gifts for my birthday. It's like, those things are a reflection of like where you came from. In your house, where are you in the chain of children? Are you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Where are you? And what do you notice that's different between how you are compared to your other siblings? So for example, my older brother, he just went through a whole experience that I had no idea existed until I was an adult because he was first outside.
Yeah.
And so he went through some of the worst racism, some of just the worst, just like experiences, people just doing and saying stuff to him, offering drugs and cigarettes. He's like, what the fudge? So he could have been the worst human being ever, but he is literally the most lovely human being I've ever met. Mm. And so I sometimes think without him shielding, it would have been me. And I'm louder than him. And we would have gone to war with half the people outside. Because you even offering me drugs is rude. Yeah. So like all that stuff that happened to him where he was like, no, thank you. I'm like, who are you talking to? I would have gone somewhere else. So I think about him and my older sister who acts as like the organizer of the family. She's so incredible at it to the point that I didn't even really appreciate it until one year she was like, I'm going to take a break this year. And we were like, yeah, take a break. It's fine. Then birthdays came along and we were like, so wait, so what's going on? Is mum having a birthday gathering at the house? Are we doing a thing? What are we doing? And every gathering was rubbish as a result.
It went to pieces.
It went to pieces. Yeah. And then I feel like my younger sister gets away with just the living murder. She's like, she's a wonderful person also, but she doesn't have to organize, contribute, everything. She's just like, oh, it's fine. She's working. If I miss a family gathering because I'm working, even if you see me on a screen, it has no relation. It's just like, yeah, but you could just do this and blah, 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 blah. My sister misses something for her job. And it's like, she has to work and it's hard, you know? And I'm like, wow. So like there's little inequalities, but where are you in your order and what's the makeup and the balance of your family?
I'm the middle child.
Mm.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know. See?
Yeah.
And it's definitely true.
Really. What's true?
That I'm the favorite.
It's so funny because I'm the middle child and I'm not. So it's
like, but you're not the middle. I'm actual middle.
Yeah, so I'm third out of four.
Four. Yeah. Yeah,
so there's no true middle.
I'm four out of seven. So there's three and three.
Oh wow.
Yes, I'm a real middle child.
So wow. You're like,
are you sure
favorite,
the youngest
favorite?
Is not the favorite? The youngest is usually the favorite.
Or the oldest is normally the favorite.
Or the oldest.
100%.
How do you know?
I'm the Michael Jackson of the family.
How do you know?
I don't think that's a good reference for that. I think that might not be a good reference.
I don't know.
What about you, Nick?
I'm the youngest out of three. So,
the babies of the family get away with murder.
Yeah.
That's
100%.
That's why I say.
No, but that don't like make them though? Their favorite.
I don't feel like I got away with loads more. Me and my, so I've got an older brother.
Mm.
He's quite a bit older. He's like in his 40s.
Mm.
And then I'm 30.
You really are a child, isn't it? So I got to tell you, it's fine. Because he was like, what?
he's in his 40s, almost 50.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, cool.
So, and then I'm 37. Mm. And then the middle brother is, he'll be 39 in March. So we're very close in age, 18 months, one school year. So it was nice to have protection at school, I won't lie. When I went into secondary school and then he was just there already.
Already
that
doing
was,
the work.
That was, yeah, that was nice. But I feel like me and him were treated very similarly. The eldest one, differently.
Was he just to look after? He was like the proxy parent to look after you two.
Yeah, I feel like he did a bit of that. But also, it was really interesting. You know, I can't remember how old I was, but like seeing him move out, seeing him do all these like grown-up things when I was still a kid was quite strange. So he always... Even now, it's like I'm an adult now. But even now, he seems like
an
more
adult.
Responsible. Yeah, like, you know, the grown up. And it's like, it's weird in that sense, the things that stick with you when you grow up. But yeah, I feel like me and Adam, my brother, we were treated pretty similar. He might say something different.
What do you reckon his story is about you? Because every sibling has a story about the other sibling.
He'll probably say that I was really mouthy. Like, and it makes sense because of what I do you know what I mean? So I got the last laugh, really. Everybody that said that I used to
I got
answer
paid
back
for my deficiencies.
Yeah, just, it's worked out, you know?
Yeah.
But I just remember that the one thing I will say is the youngest sibling is the beats from the older brothers were just and I don't mean like proper, you know.
No, but you got DDT'd,
you know,
and like
it's like when you got
figure
brothers,
four leg lock and
like watching or going against either of them on video games, you had to try not to win because if you won, it was like you were.
So I didn't get that memo.
What, so you were getting beatings because of it?
No. Basically, my oldest brother, I could beat him up.
Wow. Ooh. I couldn't beat up.
But we had an incident, and Michael, sorry, I got to share this.
He has to be here to confirm that, though.
Yeah. 100%. No, 100%. I can tell you.
Give him a right to
can
reply.
Can we give him a call right now?
You can give him a call. But see this scar on my head?
Yeah.
That's from the first time I beat him up. So I was sitting there, and after we had a fight, and he just come and slashed me. And he stabbed me in my shoulder as well.
What's like, going on?
I know. It's weird, like,
explain that really better, bruv, because that just sounds wild.
Yeah, I know.
How did that even come to pass? What kind of level of argument were you having?
No, we had, like, my house was rowdy. Like, with real fights. I'm ashamed to say this, but I'm the only sibling that's fought every other sibling. So there's seven of us, but I've had a fight with every single one.
Like a physical fight?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But the only one I didn't get the better of was my oldest sister.
Yeah.
Basically, she... I got two-facedy one day and she just slapped my back.
Yeah.
And my nose started bleeding and I just went to sleep.
From a back slap? From a back slap. How hard was the back slap?
She's a Nigerian woman.
Wow. I was like, cool. And I've not messed with her since.
Whoa. Yeah. And I wouldn't either.
My brother Peter, that's the third oldest, what he used to do, one time I think I just got two-facedy, he locked the door, the bedroom door and whatnot, beat me up, got tired and put me in a hold and I couldn't get out.
So he could beat you up some more afterwards?
No, so he could rest.
Right.
and then he goes, right, so I'm going to let you go, you're going to behave yourself, yeah? And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then as he went to unlock the door, I launched and I bit his cheek because I was like, you're not getting away with that.
Yeah. Wait, your parents.
Whoa.
My mum was hardly at home, but in my house, we used to that's fight.
You used to got all the
no fight. Wonder she was never at home. If it was going on in my house, yeah, I'd be out.
It was a proper ride. Wow.
Lee,
but
did you,
it's weird because it was a happy house.
And eat the cheek of your siblings?
Good luck following that story, by the way.
Yeah. We, would regularly sit down and hold hands and sing goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
There was one incident where I got one up on my brother. So we were fighting.
This is a brother that I know, by the way.
This is a brother that you know.
Okay, yeah, cool.
I know.
He's a solid man.
He's a very solid man. This is why it was an achievement for me. So we were fighting. So there's 4 years between us. Mm. So we were fighting, who knows about what. Parents were downstairs. I think some guests were around as well.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And he'd been tormenting me about something. And I've gone into my room, into my bedroom, and I've closed the door. And I know that he's going to come in and continue the torment. And so I stood behind the door and I waited for the door to open. The moment the door opened, I just went, bang! And so where the stairs was, he didn't fall down the stairs, but he fell back onto the stairs and they kind of go around the corner. And then there was this moment where it was almost like a freeze frame because he kind of went back, staggered back. Mm. And then he just looked at me and I was like, I'm dead, innit? Like, I'm dead. Like, I got my punch in, but now it's over.
Yeah.
So I've like slammed the door. I've jumped onto the bed, put the duvet over me. Like somehow this is going to be, shorter form. He bursts in, starts pounding me, and then it just stops. And then I look out and I just see my dad literally like grab the back of my brother and like just dash him out of the room, sort of thing. And so that's my one claim to fame where I got one up on my brother.
Assisted by your dad.
Assisted by my dad, assisted by my dad. But and with my sister, she's like 10 years younger than me, so we've never really had, had like verbals.
Yeah.
You can't get physical with the sister.
But I'm guessing you had the role as the protector, surely, like as a 10 years older brother.
Yeah, yeah, I mean... There was those times, but also, she's still my sister and she can still be annoying.
Let
her get hit twice and then come and save her.
Now, have you learned now? Have you learned now? Right, okay, let me go fix it. Let me go fix it.
You can skip me because I'm an only child.
Okay, cool. We should have known.
Yeah.
I have a couple of quick fire questions to wrap us up here. So you're not allowed to go longer than 15 seconds, really. Otherwise, we just cut you off. We play music.
Difficult for me.
Should dads be in the delivery room with their partners, but not just should they, where should they be? Dawood.
Yes, right there, standing beside.
Beside? All right. Nick?
Yes. I agree, yeah.
Yeah.
You
don't want to be looking at the eye of the storm.
I went to the football end, so.
I agree.
You don't want to be looking at the eye of the storm.
I was at the top end.
Do you know why? Because I had the voice of people like you, don't go down there. And I was like, shut up, man. I know what I'm doing. I love my wife more than anything.
Was it the right call?
It was a mad thing, bro.
Right.
Anyway, number two. It's the first time I had no control over someone I love and I went into shock.
Yeah.
It was so intense. Yeah. And then I was just like, I'm so glad this is all over.
So you are no help, basically, by doing that.
I was coaching help from a distance. And then her mum was in my first child, her mum was there. And I basically got moved out of the way. I was like a sub husband. She just came in, she was massaging her feet, and she said, come and massage the feet. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, this is weird. Like, we don't do this. We have a different way of connecting. And it was a really interesting balance of like what was asked of me, which I did,
yeah.
and then what other people felt I should be doing, yeah. which is very different. But I was like, I'm going down to football and I want to see my child come out. I don't give a cuss what anyone says. And I saw it and it was amazing. And then
why
afterwards,
did you call it the football end?
Because I don't want to talk about
yeah.
the delicacy of the where actually was going
yeah. on. It's weird. This is the one area where men become like, ooh, no, I don't want to see that.
But also, she's not here. I don't want to disrespect her football
end. I just want to know why you call it the football.
Because the head comes out.
Ah,
yeah. Okay. Anyway, so from what age would you allow your children to start dating, Darwood?
As soon as they're ready.
11-year-old, I'm going on a date, Dad. You're like, cool, man. Yeah. 11. Cool. Nick?
It's a philosophical answer as well. I don't have children, which is funny being on the podcast, but when I do, I would say probably about 13.
What happens at 13 for you? Is that just teen?
Yeah, I just think the teen makes a difference. And when you get to 13, I can remember turning 13 and that's when I wanted to go to the cinema with my friends and stuff like that. And I think if you're old enough to go to the cinema with your friends, you're old enough to go to the cinema with a girl.
I suppose an age-appropriate date. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Okay, cool.
Me? Yeah, I'm kind of like between 11 and 13. So my eldest is 11 and I was just thinking like if he came to me and said like, Dad, I want to go on a date. Like obviously I would have to make sure that certain things are in place.
Call people's parents.
Absolutely. But I think I would allow it to happen. Yeah. I think also my wife probably wouldn't want it to happen. So that would be an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
But I think 13 is also like, yeah.
I'm kind of with you now. You've actually always persuaded me because when I think of date, I think of real dating. But actually, I remember the cutesy dates of like, I think my first one was 13. And to be fair, it was to the park to hold hands. So let's, wasn't... We
it's a real
well.
Date.
Whoa.
We kissed as well.
Wow. I hope your wife's not listening.
It was like a 19-hour French kissing session that happened in the park until dark. I have one for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know when my partner is upset when.
They tell me.
Oh.
That's fair. Okay. That's fair.
Darwood?
I'm still trying to work it out. Sometimes that silent treatment, you don't know, are you upset or...
But see, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. They tell me. Because sometimes they're not upset. They're just stressed or they're just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you tell me I'm upset about something that I can change, that's when I know you're upset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I have this tendency of like trying to go through my head what could be wrong. And I have a laundry list of it. Mm-hmm. And then I just pick five and I'm like, it must be one of the five. And then by the time they come back to me, I have created this elaborate story in my head about what's wrong. But then it wasn't even that. Mm-hmm. It was just like, yo, I was stressing about invoices, you know?
I didn't know you two were dating.
That was so funny on so many levels. That was brilliant. Nick, I know when my partner is upset when.
When she's not the life and soul. Like when she's not the one cracking jokes, when she's not the one laughing, smiling, you could just tell, you know what I mean? That's what it is for me.
So the vibe changes.
Yeah. And if it's something I've done, I'll know about it because she will tell me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. She's one of those. She will tell me.
What about you, Nick?
It's actually the both of those. Mm. So if it's something that I've done, she will tell me. And then also if it's just generally just her energy, just it's quiet, a lot quieter. And so then it just kind of requires me to check in a little bit more. But yeah.
It's so crazy how one learns to read the energy between. You just want to sit down and read a book now.
Yeah.
That's why you're quiet or there's something brewing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can just pick it up.
And before we skip, Marv, sometimes, Marv, same question to you.
Yeah.
Oh, so I think it's whenever I'm not funny anymore. That's always a massive one. Because you know when you know you're being funny and this is like normally a winning space and it's like it's nothing's going on. You're like, oh, okay, cool. I'm just going to go for a walk. I'll get something from the shop. I think
it's
I need
really
something.
It's really hurtful when you say something funny and they're just like, yeah.
Some of my best work.
It's really
like, I can't represent that, but I will try.
And then you start saying, oh, do you want anything from the shop?
Yeah.
That's me,
that
man.
That's a good one.
Galaxy.
Yeah.
Cadbury.
That's a love language in itself.
Yeah.
That really
do
really
you want
is.
Anything from
do you
the
want
shop?
Anything from the shop?
I have one more before we go. Your mum and your partner are angling for the front seat and they start a discussion. Let's call it a discussion outside the car before they get in. What do you do? What role do you play?
I get out the car and go and jump in the back.
Yeah.
Problem solved. Used to drive.
I get on the bus.
I'm not getting involved.
involved.
That's a, why are you coming up with such mad questions? What's wrong with you?
This Nick is scared. Where you have to play neutral. You have to play neutral.
What happens?
I don't even know. Literally, I don't know.
But
what
to be
I would
to
do.
Be fair, to be fair, in African culture,
your mom,
the mom,
it's yeah. my mom because mm. And hopefully the woman that I pick knows that she can't.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know none of my son's mums would.
Yeah,
would even contemplate that.
All right, what if it's something slightly different? Yeah, let's say Nick, yeah, you're in your house, mm-hmm. and then your mum comes to visit, and then you've got your partner there, and she's helped you curate this space, and your mum's just like chipping away at the choices that has been made, and you know your partner is fuming. Do you get involved and say anything?
See, that's different.
Yeah, I think that's different simply because your mum's coming into a space that is shared by you and your partner. Mm. You know what I mean? This is like our space. We've set up this thing together, and like I would have to say to my mum, like, you know,
chill out.
But how?
This is what I'm saying. No one's saying chill out to their mum. So how are you saying this?
I would just say, oh, like, you know, oh, did you say if it was like she moved something and like I'd say, oh, did you move that? And she'd be like, oh yeah, I think it looks better there. And I'd be like, oh no, we like it over there because blah, blah, blah.
Oh, you
blah.
Do the we.
Yeah.
We.
Well, it has to be.
What about you? Yeah.
So interestingly enough, like you said, 24 years. So in the very early days, she knew to get into the back. Mum got in the front. And I was sitting here just thinking about it. And I don't know when it happened. But it just happened where
natural really, order.
Like I remember like my mum just being like, oh no, go to the front.
Mm.
And my mum sat in the back.
It's acceptance. Mm. It's like you're the woman now in his life.
Yeah.
But also that means your mum likes her. Because I think if your mum comes to your house and starts messing around with the arrangement of the house, I mean she doesn't like the woman.
Yeah.
And so you've got a bigger problem.
Yeah,
you've got a bigger problem.
They do it in that way,
Or they haven't earned their respect yet.
Yeah.
That's true.
I like that. All right, cool. Well, this has been the Dope Rap Dad
podcast.
What's
you,
going on? Oh, I think what you said about my partner must know my mother just is. So whatever she wants to do is the thing.
Yeah.
And it's not about hierarchies. It's just we just honor her, you know, let her sit where she wants to sit. Yeah. And I think if you were to argue with her, I think you don't have the values. You probably wouldn't make it through the argument.
Yeah.
I'll tell you to leave right now. I'll put you in a cab. Because you can't argue with people. Like, you just can't. Everyone's got to hold their place until, do you know what I mean, we get out of there. Mm. But I will honor you because it's happened before. Like there was a time when my gran, we was at my brother's wedding and then my wife at the time is moving quite slow to come back. We all had a rest break and we go coming back to the van. And then I think my grandmaster says something, oh, you're just taking long and hurry up and walk up. And I was like, gran, don't talk to her like that. Like I had to say that because nothing had gone on. Mm. And so, but she couldn't come out and start yelling at her. Yeah. I would hold that space before. And my grandma's like,
family.
You talk to me like that for her? And then I was like, yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
But respectfully, you can't talk to her like that. And I think that was as far as I would go. But if a woman started yelling at my family.
That's the night your son got conceived.
Yeah, anyway. So this has been the Dope Rap Dad podcast. Wow. Thank you so much.
That's a superhero move.
Thank you so much.
So it's all thanks to your grandma.
Thank you so much all for attending. We have had Roman Thabota. We have had Darwood Grace. We've had Nick Bright. We've had Neat Odati Evans. Do you say that Evans bit?
Yes, yeah, myself.
Okay, cool. Just making sure. Because we had a whole conversation about it, but I was like, I keep getting confused. There's pressure. And we have been the Dope Black Dads podcast. If you want to email us, please email us at hello@dopeblack.org. Go to our website, dopeblack.org. Or if you follow us on Instagram, we are constantly posting wonderful images of amazing families. Also, you see clips of this podcast at Dear Dope Black Dads as an Instagram handle. We're on TikTok also. We're also on Twitter, usually yelling at people to stop being racist, anti-men, anti-black. What all the... all the above. And yeah, thank you all for being here.
All right, good times.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.